Welcome to Knowles Abroad, a podcast by Florida State University International Programs. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Zoe. And we're your hosts. On this podcast, we'll talk about study abroad from the perspective of the students, faculty, staff, and alumni who make it an experience worth sharing. We'll also bring you travel tips and fun facts from around the globe. On today's episode, we talk with Hillary Crawford, an FSU alum who interned at the Tate Britain Museum in London, England. She talks about what inspired her interest in art and museums, what it was like living and interning in London, and how that experience impacted her career. Let's go to our conversation with Hillary now. Hi, Hillary. How are you doing today?
I'm good, Zoe. How are you?
Good. Doing well. We're excited to interview you and talk to you today about your experience abroad. But first off, can you just introduce yourself to our listeners?
Absolutely. My name is Hillary Crawford, and I'm originally from South Florida, but I've lived in Tallahassee for a while, moved up here for high school, and then went to Florida State. I actually went to FSU twice. I graduated in 97 with a degree in humanities, and then in 2002, I got a master's in arts administration and a graduate certificate in museum studies, and I interned at the Tate Britain in London as part of the international programs study abroad. And I'm currently the grants manager at COCA, which is the Council on Culture and Arts in Tallahassee. And that serves as our local arts agency.
Awesome. So from your brief introduction, we can obviously see that you have a lot of experience and interest in arts and museums. Can you tell us what sparked your interest in that?
Absolutely. I think from a very early age, I just really liked the arts in general. I took, Suzuki violin, piano, voice, things like that. But my love for museum really came from when I was in the fourth grade at Lake Park Elementary. I was in Mrs. Pivnicki's gifted class, and we did a project on the Aztec Indians. And one of the culminating factors, and it was kind of a humanities-based program, whereas now they kind of do the gifted as more math, but which it would have been bad for me because I'm not really a math person. But in my day, that was humanities. And so we did these sand paintings, and they were actually hung at the Four Arts Museum. And I remember my dad came to get me in we had a Delta 88 Oldsmobile, and we drove over, and I got to see my sand paintings on the wall. And it was super exciting. And I just really, fell in love with the museums. I love the fact that there are all these amazing things that everyone can go and see. That it's not like somebody just has them at their house, but they're, these wonderful things that talk about all the different cultures, and we all have access to them.
That's so wonderful. I love hearing about your experience in the fourth grade and just how your journey has gone from there. But can you tell us a little bit more about your background in art and what led you to doing an internship in London specifically?
Sure. So my dad collected vernacular folk art, he and his partner. And, going back to really a pretty young age, we were really involved in the museum in Fort Lauderdale, the Fort Lauderdale Museum of Fine Arts. His partner's mother actually was a docent there for years and years and was friends with Dwayne Hansen, who's a sculptor that was out of the Fort Lauderdale area. So I was very interested in, just the visual arts in general, which led to me taking a lot of art history classes as part of that humanities degree. And I had done the humanities trip as an undergrad, a Europe kind of like an overview trip, and really loved traveling. And when I was in one of those art history classes, there was a young lady from the Museum of Fine Arts at Florida State that came into one of my classes, and she said, we need volunteers at the Museum of Fine Arts. So I signed up and started volunteering, and at the time I was working with the preparator and actually hanging the shows, but I just really loved it. And one day I was speaking to this volunteer coordinator, and I said, I want to do this. What do I need to do to be able to do this as a job? And she at the time was doing the arts administration program at Florida State. And the museum study certificate was just kind of out. And so she told me, about the program, and I made an appointment with Charles Dorn, who is the former head of the program, that week, and went over and talked to him. And talked to Susan Baldino and got on board for the certificate. And then when I found out about the London study program, I was like, this is combining all the things, you know, I love traveling. I love, you know, the fact that I even had the opportunity to go, you know, and work at a museum like the Tate. So that was really, you know, it was something that I couldn't not do. and it was a requirement for the master's degree. So as soon as I kind of found out about that, I put that on my radar as a goal and just kind of worked towards that.
I love hearing about people's experiences in college. I think it's one of those things where, like, you don't know what you're going to get into or fall into when you start college, and that it was like a presentation one day and you just went after it and went and met with people and like dug into different opportunities. And I love hearing those stories of students and how they make the most of their college experience just by asking questions, like just by getting involved. So I think it's so cool that you found your way through that and where it's led you today. Shifting gears a little bit, we want to talk now about your time at the Tate. So during your time at the Tate, you worked on a few different projects and initiatives, including one where you worked with children with disabilities. Can you talk about those different experiences?
Oh, yeah, sure. So the education department at the Tate is amazing, first of all. The way that they structure the program is they actually work with artists who come in and work as educators. So they kind of build a catalog of programs based on what's up at the time. And so one of the things that I did as an intern was kind of tracked, you know, what was up at the time, what was when things were going down, as things were moving, so that the artists would kind of know. I remember the Pre-Raphaelites were up while I was there, which that was a thing that I just really loved, being able to go in a room and kind of hang out with them. But through that, they have a program that's called Tate Access. And what's really cool about that is a program that's aimed for people with all varying types of abilities to come in and to be able to experience, you know, enjoying that. I can't really think of the word, but like having that education experience of being able to see and literally like hands-on. So there's a touch tour that's offered for people that are visually impaired. So they actually have, you know, at the time there was like a Hepworth sculpture that was up. So they have like rocks that are made out of the same material so that they could actually, you know, touch the materials. Also for kids kind of that had sensory issues or maybe were a little squirmy, you know, and wanted to be able to touch it, you know, that was an opportunity for them as well. And so we would go through and we would talk about different things in the galleries with the artists kind of leading the discussion. And then going back, they had a room, like a big classroom, and we would usually make something. So they would have something to take with them. And so it was everything from those kind of structured things where we had classes in, but coming in all the time. And then there were also things like, there was an art trolley program that I worked on. So those were little, like for families when they would come on the weekends, they could come in and find an activity for an age range that was based on something that was up in the gallery. And they could actually go sit in front of the work and look at it. And there were little worksheets that would ask them questions and kind of like that whole going back to the discipline base. So it's like, you know, a little bit of art history, a little bit of theory, a little bit of criticism, and also a production, which was kind of a big thing at FSU in that time period.
That's very cool. It's awesome that you were able to get that hands-on work experience as well while you were there.
Yeah, it was a great experience.
On a different note, when you weren't working at the museum, what did you do for fun around London?
Gosh, what didn't I do? I really tried to do everything. One of the things that's really cool about the way the program is structured, or at least it was then, you know, they would get things like tickets for plays. So I was always going to the front desk to kind of see, you know, we would get free tickets or even reduce like student price tickets. So often I would come home from work on an evening and go right back out and go to a play. I saw at the time Mamma Mia was big, and I like love ABBA. I'm obsessed with ABBA. So I went to see that. I don't even know how many times, a lot of times. And I had friends that would visit me, and like we would sometimes go on the weekends and like dress up, because at the end, you know, everybody would dance in the aisles, and it was really fun. And then there was another play that was called The Donkey Show, and it was an adaptation of Midsummer Night's Dream, but it was on roller skates and set to disco music. but it was so much fun. And then we also just, I mean, we went dancing. I was lucky because my suite was comprised of all people that were interns, and we were a little bit older, you know, than the other crew. So we did a lot of traveling together. But I mean, I would go, I did stuff by myself. You know, I worked at the Tate, but the British Museum is right down the street. And there's, you know, like almost 200 museums in London. You know, I went to a session of Parliament where you can just go in. So they do arrange a lot of things for you. And I think that with the kids, it's a little bit harder maybe when they're studying, you know, because they have maybe a more structured program. Whereas since I was working, and I only worked so many days a week, I was able to, you know, just kind of make up my own schedule a little bit. But there definitely was a lot of facilitation through the site, the study center, with us, you know, for things to do locally.
Awesome. It definitely sounds like you took advantage of London in ways that were things that related to your what you're studying for your master's degree and what you wanted to do with your career, but also other things, which is such a fun thing about studying abroad. You can do things that are related to your major and then also just experience things that are just fun.
Well, the other thing that was cool for me is because I worked with people. So I got to meet people that were that just lived there, that were just people. So like, you know, we would even have barbecues and we would go to somebody's, you know, house for the weekend and hang out. So I got to see all kinds of different neighborhoods too, I think, you know, of the area because, you know, I had colleagues that worked all over. And so that was kind of, it's kind of like, you know, how they say like, is it like they say live like a local or travel like a local or whatever that thing is. Like, you know, I felt like I was able to do that because I was there for an extended period of time and I had access to, you know, people that did live there.
That's such a good point. That's that kind of is the distinction between traveling and studying abroad. I mean, students say when they study abroad, they really feel like a local. They get to live there. It's like that extended period of time. You're living right, I mean, in London, you're living right in the heart of the city and the study center. So you really do get to know the area and all the different neighborhoods. For those that haven't been to London, like there's so many different areas and so many different neighborhoods to explore. And to get to know people that actually live there, I'm sure you had like even cooler access to those places.
Yeah, for sure. And some of them lived, I couldn't believe like how far they came every day on the train, you know, when I did go to visit them. And I was like, I'm so spoiled because I, you know, hop, it's a hop here and then a hop there. And they were, you know, going like once we got out of London, you know, it was like 20 more minutes for them to go all the way up, you know, to the end. So very fortunate in that way. Yeah.
Absolutely. We are so, so fortunate where our study center is located. Again, for people who haven't been to the study center in London, it is wild how central the study center is. And
it's
to be able
West
to live
central London.
Yeah, to be able to live in that neighborhood, I can't imagine what that would be these days. But to have the opportunity to study there and to live right in the heart of the city is just incredible.
Yeah. And you can actually walk like just down the National Portrait Gallery and the V&A are both within walking distance and the British Museum. So I mean, there's just so much to do. I mean, if I could go back, I would totally go back. I think that that's like the thing that I would stress the most is like, if you have the ability to go, just do it. Because it's like, as my 45-year-old self sits here and is like, you know, you never have the opportunity. I mean, I even remember at the end being like, oh, I'm going to come back and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. And it's like, you know, then when you're married and you have children and it's like, you know, I don't think you ever have another time to just go and do something like that for yourself. It's all about yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Changing gears a little bit here. We know that 9/11 happened not long after you returned home from London. And this was before many of our students today were born. So can you talk a little bit about like how the world and travel changed after 9/11 and how that impacted your life personally?
Yeah, so actually the towers fell 2 weeks after I came home. I have some family and friends in Scotland, so I was lucky I got to stay for a bit afterwards. But I did. I totally had a plan. I was like, I'm coming right back. And so, yeah, I came home thinking, you know, that I was just, you know, right back out the door, you know, back across to London. And I just, you know, the towers did fall. And it did, for me, it changed a lot of things. I think that it was... there was like a sense of nationalism, I think, that came that I didn't necessarily have before. I saw moments of that when I was actually in the UK because, like, for example, 4th of July happened while I was there. And, you know, to them, that's just a day. And so I remember a bunch of us went to, there was like a Tex-Mex place over in Trafalgar Square that we went, you know, to kind of have our, you know, 4th of July, but it wasn't like, you know, 4th of July here, certainly. But also just, you know, travel was much freer, I think, you know, before 9/11. You know, we didn't have the same restrictions, which, I mean, of course, now, you know, we've become accustomed to them. It's been, you know, 20 years. But, you know, it was, it just changed everything. Like, it's one of those definitely moments. I mean, I remember my parents talking about, like, you know, the JFK assassination. And I remember as a kid, you know, the Challenger thing. And so 9/11 was one of those, you know, kind of instances like that. So definitely, I mean, the way that I would just like hop on a plane on a weekend and, you know, I utilized a lot of Ryanair. So I would fly to Venice for the weekend, go to the Peggy Guggenheim, you know, fly to Paris for the weekend, you know. And I don't know, I mean, of course I wasn't there after that, but I mean, I know just from the way things changed in the States, I can only imagine there, you know, what that was like with the added security.
Absolutely. Did that event change anything for you, like career-wise or any like plans that you had?
Yeah. So I was, well, pre that I was going, you know, because I did say that eventually I was going to come back to London, but I had my original plan was once I finished was to move to New York City. I had some friends that lived there. And, you know, if you work in the arts, that's a great place to go. There's lots of museums. And so, yeah, that was foiled by that, of course. But also, I think perspective-wise, I think I just wanted to be closer. You know, my parents are in Florida. I had a grandmother that was, like, dying of cancer at the time. So I kind of was like, I'm going to wait on that. I did eventually end up moving to North Carolina. I went to work at the Center for Craft in Asheville and then at Western Carolina University. Fine Art Museum. So I did get, you know, out of Florida, but, yeah, I mean, I think it does, you know, family is one of those things that, you know, when things like that happen, it kind of changes your shift. And now it's like, you know, I remember, you know, a long time ago saying, oh, well then when I just get old, you know, I'll just go move over, you know, go live in Scotland, like in the country and have a bunch of sheep. But, you know, now that I have a 13-year-old and I'm like, well, wait a minute, like, you know, if he gets married and has kids and, you know, like I can't just be a sheep herder in Scotland, you know, with grandkids in another country. So, yeah, life happens.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we want to hear more about, you know, what happened after that. How would you say that your experiences abroad and your time working at the Tate have influenced your career and what you do today?
Well, definitely. I mean, I've stayed in the arts, and I will say that I feel like I always felt like having the Tate on my resume was definitely like a conversation starter. And I actually met an artist who had been a short runner for the Turner Prize years and years ago. But it was like, you know, he was like, oh, you were at the Tate. And, you know, he was a trustee at the Tate. So, you know, it's just one of those things. And I know other people that have done the program through FSU at other times. And so, like, you know, we kind of know the same people. And but also just definitely having that on my resume, I think, you know, kind of sets you aside a little bit for that experience because people are like, oh, you know, you were at the Tate. And, you know, it definitely solidified that that was what I wanted to do. And I have, you know, kind of grown through what I do. I mean, I've moved from, you know, working in a museum to, you know, I was at the State Arts Agency facilitating funding for organizations through them. And now through COCA, you know, working on funding for arts in our community. But, you know, it's still part of, you know, arts administration and I love it. And anytime I go anywhere to travel, you know, I always go to a museum. That's the first thing I figure out is, you know, where the museums are that are closest to where I'm staying. You know, if it's like a wedding or whatever it is, I mean, I kind of like make my own little and go off and do what I need to do to get my art on.
I love that it's so much a part of just who you are. It's not just your job. I mean, for you to do that on your free time, on your personal travels, like to seek out museums, it definitely makes it obvious that this is part of who you are and not just a job for you. This is kind of like a little bonus question, but now that we know that you have a son, I'm curious, Has he gotten involved in any type of museum stuff or any interest in it at all?
Well, so he is a really good, so he draws like little cartoons. So he gets a lot of joy out of that. We have gone to museums. You know, the thing about kids and museums is they're kind of, well, kids and also museum professionals. Like if you ever go to a museum conference, you know, it's like, they're just like flying through. And I'm one of those people, like I totally nerd out and I will stand in front of something for like 20 million hours. I mean, people are just like, oh my God, she's still looking at it. And I'm just like, yeah, I'll just meet up with you later. I actually have a friend that lives in Atlanta and I mean, I go to the High all the time. And I mean, I'll look at the same stuff over and over again. And I just, I don't know. I once had like a, what I call a spiritual experience, at the Rothko Chapel in Houston. And it's just like, if you know what Rothkos look like, they're basically like color studies. And so there's not a lot going on, but you know, I just nerd out on that kind of stuff. But yeah, so he does like, he plays the saxophone, and he draws cute little cartoons. It's funny though, cause he's very like self-conscious about his drawing, which I was never an art production person, but, I know what it feels like to have that, like, you know, perfectionism where it's like you almost get in your own way for sharing things. But he makes cute little, like, birthday cards for his friends and birthday cards for me. And you know, draws little, you know, cartoons and things. And it's cute.
That's very cool to have, like, the balance of, like, the artist in the family and then, like, the arts administrator. That's very fun.
But he does love to travel. And we went to Washington, D.C., I guess, like, Thanksgiving of 19, and we went and we had so much fun because, you know, I mean, the mall is like, there's everything. And I mean, we went, he really loves history. So like we did the African-American Museum, then we did the Holocaust Museum, which if you ever go, don't do the both of those in the same day because it was a very heavy day. So after that, I was like, let's rent scooters and eat hot dogs because it was just like super, the Holocaust is a little heavy, but I mean, he loves that stuff. And so, you know, we went through and we did all the museums that we could, and he really liked it. So I think that he will, you know, grow up to be a tourist that, you know, tries to tour like a local or whatever that saying is.
Yeah. Or maybe even a future study abroad student.
That would be amazing. Well, he does talk about travel. So I hope that he has the bug.
Yeah. Awesome. That's so great to hear. We have one final question for you today. And we ask this question to everyone who comes on the podcast, so it's fun to hear everyone's answers. But what advice do you have for students who are considering studying abroad?
Do it. I mean, I think if you have the ability and the means to do it, I definitely would do it. Like I said, it's not an opportunity that you'll ever get again. And it's a way, you know, as speaking of like post 9/11 and, you know, safety and things like that, you know, now as a parent, you know, it's a really safe way to do that, you know, where you're not necessarily, you know, backpacking with your rail pass in the middle of nowhere where nobody knows where you are, right? I mean, you do have that level of connection to, you know, adults and assistance if you need it. And it's a place to stay, you know, you're not like navigating from hostel to hostel or whatever. But also it's an opportunity that you will never have again. And, I just can't say enough great things about it. I have friends that did Florence, and I actually visited them and it was a great time. And I think it's a wonderful service.
Awesome.
I'm ready to go again.
Gosh, aren't we all? Agreed. Well, thank you so much, Hillary. Thank you for your time and your story and just getting to hear about your career and your passion for art and your study abroad experience or your intern abroad experience. It's just been really wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Go Noles.
Thank you. Before we disembark, let's talk about museums. When you travel, visiting museums is a great way to get to know the history and culture of the location you're visiting. Whether you're interested in art, history, or science, there's something for everyone. Many museums offer free admission, discounts for students, or special holiday pricing, so be sure to check it out before you go.
If you're new to Tallahassee, visiting the local museums here is a great way to explore the city. You can explore the planetarium at the Challenger Learning Center, peruse the artwork at the FSU Museum of Fine Arts, see a mastodon skeleton at the Museum of Florida History, Learn about Black history through the Black Archives locations, and so much more.
Thank you to Hillary for talking with us, and thanks to each of you for listening.
This podcast is a production of FSU International Programs. The music for this podcast was composed by John Bartman. Our logo was designed by Vanessa Aguirre, who also does our sound engineering. Editing, transcription, and research is done by us, Hannah Meister and Zoe Crook.